I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So today we're having a hybrid in-person Zoom meeting, as all of you know. It's important for us to do it this way so that we can be as inclusive as possible. And I have a couple of Zoom tips. The first one is going to be, if you are using a device in this room, please make sure your sound is turned off and you're not dialed into the audio so that we don't hear the feedback. That might not be the only tip we need to avoid feedback. I'm sorry. Another tip is that if you are in the room and you want to be recognized, I should be able to see all of you. But if you're not in the room and you want to be recognized and called on, please use the Zoom functionality to raise your hand, and someone will bring to my attention that you have your hand raised so that I can call on you to speak. If you're not familiar with the technology, I think it might be different on different devices. On mine, I have a line of different selections on the top right of my screen, and one of them is more. And when I click on more, I can see the option to raise my hand. That's a bit similar for all of you. Just keep a moment to make sure we've got our technology under control, and it looks like we do. So I'm going to start with a thank you and a present, because you just sent a present, and the present is from Joe. Surprise! Joe was the chair last year, and he was the chair, and I was his vice chair, and I appreciate everything I learned from him. Every meeting I learned something new, and I know that the commission benefited from having Joe here as our leader. And he got a certificate, but we were in COVID land and Zoom land, and it came through the mail, and that just disappointed my little heart. And so I'm going to present him with his plaque properly. So here's your certificate properly displayed.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And later after the meeting, I'm going to get a picture with the two of us.
All right.
Okay. I think that next up, I'd like to acknowledge some distinguished guests and visitors here with us today. I'm looking around the room, and if I miss anybody, except my apologies, but I believe we have council member Carlucci here with us. And I think that I see council member Warren Dynan on the Zoom meeting. And we have Diane Moser, who's the director of employee services for the city of Jacksonville. And I believe that we're expecting council member Garrett, but he's not on this yet. So I acknowledge him in advance of his entry to our meeting. There's lots of welcomes and introductions to be done because we have a new member of the Ethics Commission. It's Dr. Eric Freiberger, who is here. I got to meet him earlier today. I want to welcome you and thank you for being here with us. I think what we're going to do is to take a moment for all of the Ethics Commission members and staff to introduce ourselves to you so that you know who we are. But may I ask you first to give a brief introduction of yourself?
Sure.
I'm Eric Freiberger. I'm a professor of philosophy and public policy at Jacksonville University. Should I mute my computer?
Sorry, I'm a newbie at this, so I'm pretty used to Zoom meetings. We've been having a lot of them. I'm a professor of philosophy and public policy at Jacksonville University, and a pleasure to serve on the commission. What more do you need to know? I'm married to another professor, and I'm in the middle of writing a book with Leo and Shakespeare.
I'm so excited. I'd like one autographed copy.
It's not done yet.
Not done yet. Thank you for introducing yourself. We're happy to have you with us. So I'm going to ask each of the commission members to introduce themselves and also the staff. I can see in the room and then call on the people who are on Zoom. And so I'm going to toss it to Joe first.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Joe Rogan, and welcome. It's good to see you here. I know Dr. Candlin's perspective was super useful in everything that we did. So glad to have you. I'm a lawyer in town and appointed by the chief judge. So.
Thank you, Joe. Mary Bland.
Welcome. I'm Mary Lynn Law. I'm from North Carolina, and I'm a federal public defender.
Thank you.
Let's see. Darcy, would you come in? My name is Darcy Gower. I am a local criminal defense lawyer, and I'm appointed by State Attorney General.
Thank you.
Hi.
Yeah, please. Good evening. My name is Juanita Dixon.
I literally just had chest pain because I was like, I called you JJ.
No way. But I am a retired sheriff's officer. I'm not sure. Okay. Let's see. Would you staff another? Cherry, how about you?
Good afternoon. My name is Cherry Pollack, and I am the attorney assigned from the Equus Commission.
Thank you, Cherry. I'm getting another tip from Yvonne, who's been kind enough to help us lead this new meeting, which is she's asking when it's your turn to speak to make sure you're leaning into the microphone so we can hear you properly and capture your smart word. Kirby, you want to go next?
Sure. Thank you. Can you hear me?
It feels like we're underwater, and I'd like to be honest with you.
Thank you. My name is Kirby Everwerfer. I'm the Deputy Director of the Ethics Office. I've had a great pleasure of working with Kirby in the city in that capacity for the last 5.5 years.
Thank you. I think Sandy's behind you. Sandy, will you go next? Sandy Romerhouse, Executive Assistant in the Ethics Office. Thank you. Carla?
Carl Miller, Ethics Director.
I feel like somebody's sitting behind Jerry, but I can't see. Oh, hi, member of the public. Okay.
Hi. My name is John Ewing. I'm just back from spring break and just a member of the public.
We're happy to have you. Thank you. And then I'll look at my camera. Latanya, will you introduce yourself?
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Latanya Lipscomb-Smith. I was appointed through the Ethics Commission. I'm a staff attorney with Three Rivers Legal Services. Good to see everybody.
Thank you. Andrea, how about you now?
Hi, I'm Andrea, and I am the Ethics Program and Training Manager.
Thank you. Nice to see Carlton. Are you able to say a few words?
Hey, I'm Carlton DeVoe. I'm Chief Administrative Officer and Counsel at Flagler Hospital, and we're glad that you've joined us here on the Ethics Commission.
Thank you, Carlton. I don't see Imani, but Imani, if you're there, would you go ahead and introduce yourself?
She's out of town.
She's out of town, so that's why I don't see her. Okay, I'm not going to go with anybody. Is there anybody else on the Zoom that I should be calling on?
Yes.
Okay, who's that?
Yes, Stanley Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank.
Thank you. Is there anybody else except for myself? I'm Ellen Schmidt. I introduced myself at the beginning of the meeting. I am the chair. I was appointed by the Ethics Commission to serve, and my background is social work. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I work at Baptist Health System. I've been really engaged in the Ethics Committee, medical ethics there, and was really excited to be able to have this opportunity to learn about government ethics and city ethics. So I'm happy to serve and I'm happy to have all of you here today. Let me ask Carla if she will share with us an ethics thought for the minute.
Sure, I have been doing research. This isn't really in the ethics area, but it's on mentoring. And the quote is, the key to being a good mentor is to help people become more of who they already are, not to make them more like you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now to the business of our meeting. First up is minutes approval. Has everyone had the opportunity to review the minutes that were handed out prior to the meeting? And if so, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. So
second.
Thank you. It was moved and seconded to accept the minutes as submitted. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
I saw Latanya say aye. I guess you can do that by raising hand too. Is that something, Paul, that you can track that we don't lower aye? Or if there's any. So we're going to move into reports, and the first one up is from our office on Carla.
Yes, I have a fairly brief report, two things. The first is minor, the second is major. The minor one is we're making good progress on our contributions from the independent authorities for the budget. In fact, all the independent authorities have increased their contribution to the ethics office, which is good news. So I'll be accumulating that information into one document, and I'll send that out to you. But it's good news. Plus, we've had conversations with general counsel about adding an attorney to our staff, and OGC is in favor of that. I've discussed it with the mayor, so hopefully next year at this time we'll have another attorney on staff sitting here to assist the commission. The second thing has to do with something that I've individually talked with all of you, and is big news, at least for me, and that is my letter that I've sent to all of you indicating that after 24 years of working on the city's ethics initiatives and being the first director of the ethics office, that I'm stepping down as director of the ethics office as of October 1st.
Well,
thank you for the editorial comments. I basically, in my letter, put that I have been thinking very long and hard about this. And the funny thing is, I realized that if people are on the pension system for the city, they wait for their 10 years, they wait for their 20 years. Then maybe they make it to 30 years, but maybe they go on the drop program. And it's actually a ladder or a way out. But if you're part-time, you don't have that. So you're just kind of like, you can work for the rest of your life. I can work until I'm 100. Now, I will probably work until I'm 100. I thought that it was a key time to pass the baton to the most competent person I've had the pleasure of working with. Kirby Overdorf is my recommendation. It is your choice, but that is my recommendation. And I put in here at the end of my letter that the success of this office, as we are now, depended always on the Ethics Commission and all of your help. And I do consider you family. So when I first read this letter, I thought, I can't read the letter out because I'll start to cry. But I'll just hand it to everybody, and then you read it over. But the office now, when I started in 1997 as a volunteer, it was interesting being a volunteer, but when I came in as an employee in 2007, there was a lot of discussion in city council. Do we even need ethics? We don't need an ethics office. We don't need an ethics person. And, just to fight for one position was daunting. One time I went on a vacation for 4 days, and I came back and someone stole my chair. And I really worried, like, would my owner still be there? Would I be able to keep my office intact? And now to have three staff members, the inspector general's office, and the stability, I feel like my chair is not being stolen. I feel like we're in a good place for me to pass the baton. So more on that later in the meeting, but I wanted to make that announcement now. And that's one.
Thank you, Carla. I think everything that follows that back, we appreciate everything that you've done. I'm sure you'll hear that over and over again today and into the future. Jerry, I'm sorry you have to follow that.
I know. Happily, a report. We're just busy in office of council with.
So we are up to new business, and I mentioned earlier today some distinguished guests and visitors, and one is Diane Moser, the City of Jacksonville Director of Employee Services, and she's going to speak to us today about resources available to boards and commissions. And Diane, you're presenting virtually, so you have the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm very happy to be here, and I think the timing's kind of impeccable given the news that you just heard from Carla. So I wanna say that I'm available for any questions. I work very closely with members of the Office of General Counsel, people such as Cherry. So I am Diane Moser, I'm the Director of Employee Services. And the reason I'm actually speaking to you today is to tell you some information that's a result of an Inspector General recommendation provided to the mayor's office. But if you have questions related to Carla's news, I can certainly take that up at the end of my very brief presentation. I'm basically meeting with all the boards and commissions for that have city employees under them to let the boards and commissions know that there's help out there if you find yourself in a difficult personnel situation. And a difficult personnel situation can be defined in so many ways. But your first step, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, would be to take the information that you found to your board chair. Your board chair would then take that information to either the chief administrative officer or the chief of staff, depending upon the relationship. And then I report to the chief administrative officer. If you needed our assistance, we would be happy to assist you after that. To tell you what my department is comprised of, we have three divisions in my department. The first is talent management, the second is employee and labor relations, and the third is compensation and benefits. And then I'll delve into each of those divisions a little further so you understand what our role is in city government. In talent management, the primary functions are recruiting and examining. So the word recruiting, yeah, I'm sure you guys just heard that. We provide consultative services, data management, which is data into our information systems and data out of our human resources information system. We also have the medical desk in the talent management area. Each department's assigned an HR business partner, and I know Carla works closely and Kirby works closely with Tracy Bolton, who is the HR business partner assigned to the ethics office. The HR business partner's roles are to assist the departments with filling positions, everything from posting the job when it becomes open all the way to helping with the interviews and the job offer and things of that nature. I do want to say in this instance, so this is kind of an aside, since Carla's recommendation is Kirby, I do want to mention that if an internal city employee was selected for a position, you are not required to post. You are only required to post if you decide to select someone from the outside. So I just want to take that as an aside right now to make sure you understand that you would not be required to post the position. It would basically be an administrative function of voting, and Cherry could help out, with the legal part of it, but it would be voting to make Kirby your director if you elect to go down that path. Getting back to what the talent management division does, they classify or reclassify jobs, might restructure jobs if that's required in a department, and we're actually going through restructuring with a couple of departments right now. We determine compensation, so we assist with that. We establish pay grades, assign jobs to pay grades, and provide other consultative services. So that's the talent management side. The employee and labor relations side, they are responsible for negotiating our collective bargaining agreements. And you may not know this, but we have six unions in the city. Everyone in the Department of Ethics is exempt from collective bargaining. So none of your employees fall under that cap, but that is a very important component of the city of Jacksonville's is our collective bargaining. besides collective bargaining, that division is responsible for employee relations, time and attendance, training, leave under the Family Medical Leave Act, and that's our, right now, unfortunately, we have a dedicated, they're dedicated to COVID tracking and testing and things of that nature. That's obviously a new function that they've established within the last year. The division also handles complaints of employee conduct. So let's say Carla was having difficulty with one of her employees, which of course we know isn't happening, but she could come and work with the labor relations officer, who the labor relations officer for the Department of Ethics is Gail Hill. And Gail would assist with working with Carla through the progressive discipline process for that employee. And that division also handles training. I know Carla's group does the ethics training. We do a lot of other training. So we offer training in person or on Zoom or other online mechanisms. And we do all kinds of training from like Microsoft Word through conflict resolutions, how to improve communications and things. I said conflict resolution, so stuff like that. So it's the more general stuff where Carla would handle the ethics training under her area. We handle the more general stuff that you would expect HR or employee services to handle. And our third division is compensation and benefits. That division has the group health plan under it. So that's all the employee benefits, health, dental, vision, life. And they're also responsible for the defined compensation as well as the deferred compensation retirement plans. We also have a defined benefit plan, the city does. It's been closed to employees since October of 2017. I do want to mention that that plan is housed in another department. It's actually in finance and administration, and there's a pension office dedicated to that. But we have, for everybody who's come on since October of 17, and even some employees before, we handled the defined compensation piece of that. So we cover the primary functions of our jobs. When I'm going out and doing this presentation, I'm also telling people there are two other offices that are able to assist. One of them, which is Carla's office, the Office of Ethics. So I let everybody know Carla's available for any ethical considerations or complaints, and that those tips are anonymous. And then we also have the Jacksonville Human Rights Commission out there, and they are responsible for handling sexual harassment and other types of harassment and discrimination. So in closing, those are the resources available within the city. But as I mentioned, if you have a difficult situation, if you're not the board chair, take it to your board chair first, and then that board chair would then take it to the chief administrative officer, and then we're ready to assist after that. Do you have any questions?
Does anyone have any questions from the sponsor? Don't see any questions in the room. Remember, if you want to speak and you're participating virtually, you can raise your hand. So just a few seconds if anybody raises their hand.
And I also want to mention, if you need me to come back at any other time to assist, since Carla's announced that she is leaving, I would be more than happy to do that. And we could make the process, you know, fairly simple.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate you being here today to share with us. Next on our agenda is Council Member Dennis, but I don't see him on my screen.
He's running a little late.
Okay, so well, we'll just move on to the next thing and come back. Thank you, Carla. So the next thing is a review of potential legislative changes regarding the retirement, and that I'm going to talk to Carla. So will you go ahead and let us know about that, Carla?
Thank you. I will be happy to know I'm not going to speak for 2 hours about this subject, although to brief everybody on it, it probably would take that long. This is a project, just to give you a little bit of history, we have post-employment legislation in our code now. We have about 4 sections that pertain to things that you can do after you lose city employment. The problem is that these code provisions have been put into place over a period of 30, 40 years, all different times, different thinking, usually in reaction to something that just happened. So there's no rhyme or reason and how we pull this together. So the training, city employees on this is difficult. You read over those provisions, you understand what I'm saying. So for about the last year, Jason Gabriel, General Counsel, and I, and Lasekia, just from General Counsel's office, and Cherry and Kirby and I have been saying, we've got to sit down, put out all of these provisions, and come up with something better. In the fall, like August, September, Councilmember Carlucci came on the scene and was also interested in trying to put this together and sponsoring legislation in this area. In the late fall, like November, December, when the Lot J issue was being considered by City Council, Councilmember Rory Diamond came forward and said, let me work on a provision in the Lot J contract to make sure that we prevent any kind of post-employment problems. And so there was actually a draft of some legislation that he put together and passed. Of course, in the whole Lot J bill did not pass, but if it had, it would have had post-employment legislation in there. So you see, we've had some efforts, and what you have in front of you now is beginning draft. There is so much more work that needs to be done on this, and so Kirby, Jason, we'll see, there's going to be a team of us that just hold ourselves up in the room until we legally get it in good shape. And you'll be seeing another work product shortly, I hope. The reason I gave it to you today is because some of you may be really interested in this topic, and you want to read this over, you want to read our existing law, especially the lawyers. This is like a law school exam. You can read this over and really enjoy it and try to figure out, have we left anything out? Do we need to add anything? And so if you have like this blind desire to have to put on this issue, give me a call after this meeting. And I welcome another set of eyes, or two or three sets of eyes on this. I can say that this is a difficult area because you're trying to balance, you want like a free flow of people that leave the city and feel like their city experience has prepared them to work in the private sector. You don't want to tie their hands. You don't want to scare people from coming from the private sector into the city because they're not going to be able to go out and work for any private companies in the future. So it's all this balancing. And then sometimes people just take advantage of information that they obtained while they were a city employee, and you want to prevent that. So where do you draw all these lines? And it's a pretty labor-intensive thing. So I wanted to let you know that we're on it. If all goes well, by the end of April, we should have some legislation ready and approved by OGC and Employee Services, because we've got union contracts to consider in connection with this. So that's basically my report. So you know that there's activity in this area, and that if you are inspired hearing this and you're excited right now that you want to volunteer, please give me a call after this meeting, send me an email and say, I want to volunteer on this particular project, and I'll pick your brain on it.
Thank you, Carla. Anybody have any questions for Carla about the report?
And you might want to ask Council Member Carlucci, Councilman Don, if they have comments.
I'd be happy to. Since I made eye contact with Council Member Carlucci, I'll ask you first. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd love to detract all the product last Monday, but I'd like to see the metal and the budget back.
I think we're going to give you a microphone so okay. We can make sure that we hear your smart words.
Well, don't raise the bar that high for me, okay? I am going to be looking through the legislation. I am particularly interested in the post-employment parts of it. Political consultants, I can see some pluses and minuses there. I want to look through that a little bit harder. First and foremost, first I heard that Carla was going to retire in October, mm-hmm. and whoever will come in, they better have a They do have a big set of high heels to build. And it saddens me, but it also, for somebody who has stayed at this for so many years, I just think it's incredible. We've been so lucky. This commission has grown from a baby into a real adult. And I compliment everybody here on the job that you do. I think the Ethics Commission played probably the most key role in the JEA matter. And I think good side that I'm thankful this organization has started from, it's grown into a great organization. And chairperson have all done a great job. I love watching Joe come before the council. People thought they were going to push him around, but it won't happen. And I'm so proud of Joe, and I'm proud of everybody. When our government and our elected officials lose, our most valuable asset, trust. And when we lose trust, we've lost it all. And I always felt that the Ethics Commission, from the first inception of it a long time ago, was a powerful instrument and would become more powerful over time in helping us retain as much trust as we can. And so I compliment y'all and see the active progression of putting together legislation for our consideration on the council. I just think it just makes me very proud that somehow I had enough sense all those many years ago to create this thing and have watched it grow with the help of other council members along the way and other mayors and have such professionals handling it. So if I'm going down memory lane, I apologize. Everybody says they like institutional knowledge before giving it to them and drive front cross over. So I get it. But this commission put a roadblock, a big in front of the biggest scandal. One of the biggest scandals. I'm not sure how big the pre-consolidation scandals were. They were big. And I was here when it was happening, and my father was in the middle of exposing it big time. So with that said, it just made me proud. This commission and the director played such a huge role in that, as did other council members and members of the general council. But the Ethics Commission had not been in Atlanta, I don't know what would have happened. So God bless you all. I haven't read through all of this legislation yet. I'll be talking with Carl Miller, who I've known for many, many years, and what a true blessing she's been. I don't have in the world to replace her, but I remember one time taking an airplane trip. A bunch of saleswomen we had won this big trip. All these great salespeople. I just happened to let me get on the trip. I get out in by the hair on my chin. And I asked my manager, I said, good Lord, what happens if we're going to Hawaii? I said, oh my Lord, what happens if this plane goes down? And we all just, we go down with the plane. What's the company going to do? And how do I mean, all these salespeople up here. He said, I'll have to replace them. But I don't know if there's any replacing a Carla Miller. I just don't know. I pray, and whoever the next director is will get my full 150% support. But what gives me hope is that this commission has the gravitas and the intelligence and common sense to hire somebody that can step up and hopefully take it even further. And I think that's what Carla was hoping for. And whoever takes her place takes it further. Whoever takes my place, I hope they take my council seat further. And that's that's the way it's supposed to run. But sorry for the long speech, but I have so much sentiment on this organization. And the older I get, it's not, it doesn't take too long for me to start for my eyes to start swelling up. So I better quit now. But I don't know that. But at the end of the day, I will read this over with her and hopefully we can come on something that I would very much enjoy sponsoring. And I always want to be here, and you can always count on me to be here or in Tallahassee on your behalf.
Madam Chair, if I could say one thing just to remind it, and ask my president, you mentioned it, but I have the original legislation from 1992 where he sponsored the legislation to create the Ethics Commission. And so it's historic. He also chairs the state Florida Ethics Commission. And he has always been a friend of our commission. In fact, one time when we had some legislation that was going to be really not good for our Ethics Commission statewide, he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and drove over to Tallahassee to speak on our behalf. So he's always been a friend of the commission. And thank you very much, Councilmember Corleucci.
Well, you're welcome. Lucky that y'all made me look so good. So God bless you. We'll work on this next week. I'm kind of wiped out for the week after, if that's okay. If we take a look at this, we'll head out and call you when we get scheduled up. And so thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your reflection. I told you probably you were going to be hearing more kind words, and you did. So I appreciate everything you shared.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Councilmember Diamond has his hand raised.
Wonderful. He was going to be called on next. But Councilmember Diamond, please go ahead and unmute yourself and share any comments you'd like to give.
I appreciate it. I'll be super brief. I was raising money for Canines for Warriors over on the west side of the state. Had such a good morning, then Carla just destroyed my weekend with this terrible news. This is terrible. I mean, everybody's great there, but Carla has been an absolute force for good in Jacksonville. So I'm a little heartbroken today, Ms. Carla, but I understand it's a well-earned step down for sure. And I look forward to working with whomever you all pick next. There's still so much further to go in Jacksonville to make our government more ethical and understandable and easier to work with if you're a citizen. So I look forward to working with the commission and the new director for sure. And I'll do my plug for Kirby. I'm a big fan, just to be clear. On the actual legislation you asked about, I'm all in. I don't think I've seen a piece of ethics legislation I didn't want to grab, help introduce, and fight for. So I'm on with this one. I need to get in the weeds and understand it. But as soon as I do, I'm sure I'll be on board and there to fight for it. So thanks, everyone, there for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments, and we appreciate you joining us today. Anybody else have any comments about what Paul was shared on potential legislative changes? Okay, well, next up is the Ethics Director Performance Review. That's just the appointment information. You actually have a copy of Carla's evaluation in your packet, including the evaluation of the Ethics Director as a function of the Ethics Commission and responsibility of the chair. So the document you see here was prepared by Joe. And if you have a chance to read it, if you haven't already, it's full of beautiful words of quality of performance. I'm going to quote part of it and at your convenience. He wrote about Carla that she's a dedicated and passionate public servant who does well and does good. And I think that just sounds perfect. So I think next I'm going to flip the two things that are coming next and have Kirby speak to us about strategic planning before we talk about succession planning. Right? So thank you,
my
Carly. Kirby, I'm sorry.
That's
a high compliment. That's too good. I'm happy to talk about specific planning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do so. I'm not sure if you're in the microphone, but I'll just can everyone hear me?
It's hard.
Sandy's coming to help you.
Oh, let's try that. Can everyone hear me?
Oh, yes.
Imagine how working from the button on. I don't work in ITD for a reason. I actually always start rephrasing that way. Thank you, everyone, for giving me an opportunity to share with you briefly about the strategic plan that's before you. It has been a little while since the commission has engaged in strategic planning, but it's something that's always a top of mind in the ethics office and has been definitely foremost in our mind this particular year. The strategic plan before you is the culmination of 20 years of groundbreaking work and vision by Carla that she's established here in Jacksonville and the Ethics Commission. And also the result of several months of robust, thoughtful, and intentional planning by Andrea and I. And if you'll allow me the grace of a few minutes just to kind of give you some details about Andrea and the wonderful skills that she brings to the office and how she brought the vision for this plan, the vision that was in my head and Carla's head for this plan into the document that's before you. So Andrea has exceptional experience in strategic planning, adult learning, virtual training, program planning and evaluation. She is really connected to diverse citizen groups across our region. She importantly has demonstrated since she began with us in 2018 an incredible ability to explain complex issues in the simplest terms. So if I were to give you a copy of the prior Ethics Commission strategic plan, that was quite robust and it was wonderful. And you can hear this one, and you can see it was very different. She has a way of actually condensing and concising things into terms in a manner that's easy to understand. And she's also led the development of manuals for elected officials and employees and board members, and she's working on the further development of our ethics office program. And through her many talents and capabilities, she was able to really assist me in appointing what I think is my unique vision for the Ethics Commission and the Ethics Program here in the city to life. It's something that I established as a lifelong passion of ethics that I've had since elementary school. I was a safety patrol. I didn't know that at the time, but there's a big connection between my work in the ethics office, the ethics program, and being a safety patrol. We're all out to keep the taxpayers and employees safe and to keep them on the right road and help them with guardrails to make sure we're all staying in the proper lane. And Andrea's great talents and skills has helped me to kind of achieve and bring my unique experience on the commission and my vision for the growth of this program into the chart that's before you. So speaking particularly about the chart, the strategic plan reflects the mission and vision of the ethics program and the ethics office. It's something that we sat down at our first meeting with Carla, Andrea, and I and really intentionally thought about what is the passion we have for this program, why do we serve it, and what is the mission and vision that we have for the next 5 years. And together, we came up with something we all similarly shared at the time, which was we want to maintain and further build upon the ethical culture that Carla has established throughout the city of Jacksonville and establish our programs and national. Let me share with you my own brief experience in the program that since my service on the Ethics Commission from 2007 to 2012 to when I started in the office and now, currently, there's been significant growth in the establishment of the ethical culture in the program here, and that is only due to Carla and her UPN effort. She has more than major high needs to fill for certain. And she's really helped to do this, but there is a lot more that we can do to develop this. And we try to do that with the strategic planning, coming up with a concrete vision and development plans for furthering the ethic program for the next 5 to 10 years. And so you'll see that the plan attempts to align the local ethics code, which is in the first column on the first page, with the federal sentencing guidelines, which is the national standard by which ethics programs are judged nationally, and with the Ethics and Compliance Initiative Blue Ribbon Panel program for national best ethics programs. So there are recommendations for those. So she tries to align those three. And then in the fourth column, you'll see phase one, and that lists all the current activities that the office is conducting. These are on the first two pages of your plan that meet and align with our code under the duty, our duties under the code, the federal sentencing guidelines, and the blue ribbon panel. And there's a column for who's carrying those out for exactly. And then the next column to the right, phase two, talks about the additions that we would like to achieve over the next 5 years to further develop all of these goals and align them. more closely to the federal sentencing guidelines of the PCI and how we plan to particularly measure them. And the work of the office is closely connected, obviously, intimately with the commission. And your plan comes in on page 3 of the strategic plan, and it's modeled the same way, so that the first column are your duties of the commission underneath the code. Then you have how that correlates to the standards for the federal sentencing guidelines. Then the blue ribbon panel report recommendation. Which committees are responsible for that or those duties currently at the Ethics Commission? And then you'll see a blank column for your additional committee goals for you all to reflect on the work of the office, how it builds into to this vision of furthering this ethical culture and making it a national model, and how the commission can contribute to that vision and that mission. We're really excited to join in with you all on the strategic plan, and we really look forward to a bright future for the city that comes as a result of all the great minds in this room aligning all of this way we have to bring that vision.
Thank you. I'm really impressed with all of the work that went into that, and I appreciate you summarizing it for us. I think it's something we have to kind of delve into over time. I'm impressed at the scope of the responsibilities of the Ethics Commission and the office and the work that we can do for the betterment of the city. I wonder, does anybody have any questions or comments about Kirby's report? One of the things I noticed in your report that I'm kind of excited and interested in about was I get that microphone with a piece of paper and it sounded like I dropped a tray on the floor. I think because I was chairing the compliance committee last year and we had so much work done in that committee that looking at the information about the lobbyist registration system and thinking about work that we might be doing in the commission this year just kind of caught my attention and interest. So I'm looking forward to seeing where we go with our strategic plan. Okay, so next up is, I feel like I just have to look around again to make sure nobody else wanted to add anything before I move to next. Next up is succession planning. But I think I'm going to toss that back to Carla.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I have another quote for everybody. This is, I like this quote. You are not a leader until you produce another leader who can produce another leader. So it has been sort of the thing for the last several years. Can I leave the office? I know my chair isn't going to be stolen now. When can I leave? I have thought about it and stressed over it, and then I just keep working. You know, I've worked since I've been 14, and I've not had any breaks. And last year, I think I've told some of you, on a daily basis, I was reminded that because I'm over 65, I'm a senior citizen and I could die every single day. Please, you know, like you're putting my mortality up in my face on a daily basis. And I thought it is now time to pass the baton. I've done everything I can to prepare the office for the future. And even looking at Andrea, she said one time at a meeting, she said, oh, you know, she's in her 30s. She said, I can say like 50 years from now, I can say, am I even part of the beginning of her? I said, oh gosh, you know, we can take it out for the next. But I really did not want to just have a program for 5 years or 8 years. I want a program that lasts into another generation. I want it to grow and expand. So that's why I worked so hard to put all of these pieces together. So for a succession plan, clearly, you've got to, by charter, you are the hiring committee for the new executive director. I made my recommendation in the strongest possible terms I can, but it's up to you. You have two choices. Choice number one, you start a process to interview Kirby, talk to her more about her vision and go with internal hiring. The other option is you decide to go with external hiring, and Diane Moser said that she, of course, would assist you with that. But those are basically the two pathways, and it's up to the commission to decide how you want to proceed. I can tell you by October 1st, if we want to have someone in place by July, August, September, you need to kind of move on it because your recommendation does have to go to City Council for confirmation, and that takes about 6 weeks or so. So, you know, we need to move along. We've got 6 months. We've got a lot of time to do things, including increasing the budget because I want to get another lawyer in the office.
Thank you. It does sound like our next step should be appointing an ad hoc committee to perhaps interview Kirby, discuss revision, as you said, and then to come back to the full commission with a recommendation. And based on what you said, do that sooner rather than later. Because I mean, you did say 6 months. We have 6 months, which sounds like a long time, and we'd probably be over before we have a vote. Councilmember Kirby, did you have something you wanted to say?
I did want to interrupt. I just, whatever it changes for me, I'll do that.
Okay, I'll call on you in just a moment.
Sure.
Thank you for what I like to do is perhaps ask Joe and Darcy and JJ to serve on that ad hoc committee, but I want as many of the commission members as possible to participate in it, and perhaps we could call a meeting in early April to get together and meet. And we have Kirby, we all fully know you, Kirby, but doesn't feel weird to have a meeting with our team, but I think that's what I'd like to do. So that's my recommendation. Is this a good time for your comment, Councilmember Kirby?
Yes, ma'am. It's okay if I give it to
yes.
Okay. Maybe it's an off-the-patch. But it isn't. I don't know who else might be applying for jobs. I do think it's fun. While I think it's good to open up for people to apply for a job, I really like the idea of hiring some inside of Kirby or Dorfer. And I just want to make this reason why. I think she's been a big part of culture and the good chemistry that this commission has right now. And I think that the commission's growth can be better sustained with somebody who has done so much work in the shadow of a giant Carla. And the importance of continuity, not bringing somebody that would be smart, which y'all wouldn't hire anybody that wasn't smart, that wasn't good, but there'd be no vertical learning curve for Kirby. And so I say that with conviction. If I thought that there needed to be change made to the direction, y'all know better than I do, but it just seems like this commission has just moved in such a wonderful fashion. I want to see that continued. And certainly there's other great applicants that would be out there. But I'd just say, I'm voting for her if I had a vote.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and Mr. Scott has his hand raised and Latanya has her hand raised
in the comment. Latanya, do you have to raise your hand first? I believe there's a comment on the line. Yes. Latanya, did you want to make a comment? Yes, Madam Chair. I was for the ad hoc committee.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And Mr. Scott, I see your hand is up.
Yes, my hand is up. I just want some clarity. I cannot hear. That's why I want to make a, can you please tell me the issue? Because I'm hearing part of it. I'm not hearing everything.
We're discussing forming an ad hoc committee of ethics commission members to take up a discussion on whether we should appoint for Dorfer to serve as the next director of the ethics office, or if we should conduct a national search. And so we opted to have this committee meet early in April to have a discussion with Kirby and then come back to the commission with their.
Can I continue or someone else speaking? I can continue.
Clarity question is you can clarify something if you need to, otherwise I'll move on to the next item. Thank you. The next item is committee assignments and updates. And I don't know what challenges are going to be before me as the chair of the Ethics Commission, but that is a duty. It's much harder than it sounds like it should be. I tried to take into consideration your preferences, because you'll recall that you submitted rankings of the different committees and suggested where you might like to be placed. So I took that and your talents and previous committee roles into consideration in coming up with the assignments. So I'm very excited about how it fell out, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what accomplished in 2021, especially as it comes to setting goals related to the strategic plan that Kirby outlined for us. You should have, I think you already agreed with your assignments, or there's a copy of them in the packet.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question? On the last item about the ad hoc committee, I just want to make sure I understand the charge. I think we may have more options than just national search or appointing Kirby, right? I mean, we could just open position and post it online. We could do a local search. There's any number of ways I think we could work with Ms. Moser and figure that out. I'm not saying we'd necessarily go that way. I just want to make sure, is your charge picked between national search and Kirby, or are you saying look at this and decide what you want to do?
I thought that the options were limited to what I said. So if I misspoke, then we could absolutely have the committee come up with their recommendation from that broad scope that you talked about, Joe, whatever the options are. I think that there may also be future work for that team as far as what we talked about budgeting and what are we going to ask from the budget and what's it going to look like if we hire another attorney. And I imagine, is that the responsibility of hiring the second attorney? Whoever the new director is, not us. Is that correct? Our responsibility ends at the director.
Yeah, that is correct. Although we've always thought when we hire people in the office, we let the ethics commission know so members can come and sit in and give their opinion. And when I said hire from within, which is the model that the city council auditor's office uses, by the way, but either that choice or like a national search, I don't mean it's all limited to that. I mean, there could be a global search, it could be like other things that the committee comes up with. They're free to come up with, you know, whatever creative thinking they've got when they meet.
Okay.
But I mean to limit it just to.
Thank you, Carla. And thank you for the smart question, Joe, because my intention was not to limit the scope of your work in this area.
Thank you.
Thank you. What's next? Ethics Commission Annual Report. Kirby, is that you? Can you do that for us?
Yes, thank you so much. In the materials we provided for the meeting, we were handed a copy of the annual report that was prepared by me and your former esteemed chair, Mr. Roden. And it's quite wonderful, I think, his addition for to focus on the work, the major work of the commission last year. So there were five or six different areas where we will focus. And that has been filed today with City Council.
Thank you. Does anybody have a question about the annual report? Anything you want to know from the committee? Okay. Next up is an update on regarding ethics related to state legislation, which is Kirby and Sandy together.
I believe that's also me.
Yeah, Kirby and Sandy.
Thank you. Sandy definitely has been helping me on this. There are several items pending in the state legislature right now that I wanted to bring to your attention. One affects you all directly, and then the other two are just in the ethics general area. So the first one that does affect you directly is House Bill 573, and Senate Bill 758. So what that bill requires are boards and commissions of the state that file Form 1 financial disclosures. It requires them to do a number of things. First, it requires you to have 5 hours of board governance training on fiduciary duties that you might owe as board members in terms of hiring your executive staff, any money that you might have, oversight functions, those kind of things. So you have to have 5 hours of training. You have to certify to the state that you completed that training effective next year if the bill passes. Also, it requires any selection of your executive director or general counsel. You would have one, the city, but the executive director to be approved by two-thirds majority of the leads, the subject matter or method of training you have to have for 5 hours, and some other representation standards for lawyers that might represent boards and commissions. So it's a pretty sweeping bill. I haven't seen anything like it in the legislature in the last several years that I've been practicing. So I just wanted to put that on the radar screen. If it starts to gain traction, we will certainly share out the details with you. And, you know, it's going to pass, but it's been passing its committees. So it's gone for two committees favorably in the Senate. It now has its last committee with the substitute. It's on the second and third stop in the House. So it looks like it's moving. I just didn't want you guys to be caught off guard by it. So, and then there are other two pieces of state legislation that tinker with some of the requirements in Chapter 112, the state ethics code, in terms of conflicts of interest and training on what the state ethics commission means for the loophole and what are the conflict provisions. And it also eliminates an exemption. And then they also require people who are going to have a voting conflict to actually announce it and their conflict before they can participate. So there's a couple of changes that we need to share with those with you right as well. But just wanted to give you that brief update about what's pending in the state of the
thank you. Any questions for Kirby from the commission members?
Kirby, you're up again. You're going to talk about filing Form 1. Yeah, so in your packet that you received today, that should be in your binders, you do have your Form 1 financial disclosure statement for calendar year 2020. Remember, you're always filing for the prior year like active, and the Ethics Commission, by and large, is always sort of the standard bearer for the city in terms of getting yours done early. You have until July 1st of this year to file your Form 1 for last year. So it's just a friendly reminder that you'll be getting that form and that reminder letter from the state of Mississippi soon and to make sure that you file it.
Thank you. You're welcome. Moving on to old business, Carla, you're going to review potential legislation regarding some travel.
I would ask the chair to defer that to the next meeting. There's some work pending on that right now. I'd rather bring a more creative project.
Okay, we can defer that. Looking at the gallery, we had skipped over our number, I think it was 3, the ordinance, and I still don't see that he magically appeared. Hi, while I was lying down, we're timing in travel. So, wait a second to get settled, sir. So, Councilmember Garrett Dennis is here today to discuss Ordinance 2020-705, which he has sponsored. So, once you've settled, please go ahead and share your thoughts with us.
This one. Thank you, buddy. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Thank you for allowing me to speak for you all this evening. I introduced the bill 2020-705, and it was with changing the ethics code and dealing with political consultants. And so I thought it would be prudent to come before the body, share my thoughts on this piece of legislation, to get your thoughts future input. And I would love you to bless you if it's appropriate, but if not, give your thoughts to input because this directly will affect the ethics commission. And so basically, this deals with registering of one of the consultants, just like lobbyists register with the city, and it's registered for the consultants who have to register with the city when they're engaged in political consultation with candidates that will be involved to be elected official. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, where this came from, quite frankly, is what we're dealing with the JDA as well as the school board issue. You know, back with the Hassett sales tax, there was a group, a couple individuals of the school board as well as the superintendent, and saying if you want this Hassett sales tax to go through, you need to hire us because we basically control, I can't remember the number 9 or 11 council members, because we got them all elected from they basically listen to us. And so, you know, what it basically shed a light on, you know, when the citizens go out and make our decisions, who's actually, you know, running our government, who's actually controlling the elected officials who's supposed to be representing us. And that basically shared a little light on the inner workings of political consultants, getting people elected, or this end game of this financial windfall. And so I think now is the time with transparency to bring this to light. And so I'm not sure if you all have a copy of the legislation, but it does a couple things. So number one, there's a registration. There's a review of the registration. And that's, I should have highlighted. Okay, thank you for the call. It requires political consultants to register and report information to the council on an annual basis. Again, the purpose of this is to protect the integrity and credibility of the electoral and governmental institution, definitely improve transparency, assist the public in making informed decisions, protect public confidence in electoral and governmental processes. And this particular bill is modeled after San Francisco. So we're not the pioneers here. Other jurisdictions and municipalities, they've adopted this type of legislation because they see the need for it. It applies to personal entity, including subcontractors that receive promise $1,000 or more annually from the campaign management services for development of political campaign and strategy for a candidate. Exemptions would be for employees of consultants, attorneys, who only provide legal services, accountants that only provide accounting services, pollsters, and treasurers. And also prohibits political consultants from providing consulting services, campaign management strategy, or setting payment for services without first registering with the council secretary and reporting annually following information and the list of information that you need to receive annually. And so, you know, again, the reason why I brought it to you all because it directly affects the Ethics Commission and your duties in this legislation is number one, to develop a registration form with OGC, ECO, and council secretary. Number two, to provide assistance, coordinate training, education to the mayor, the council, constitutional office chair, state attorney, public defender, the school board, candidates, and consultants regarding this law that passes, and to preserve all original registration renewals, amendments, any conflicts. Number four, provide formal and informal advice regarding duties of consultants under the law. And lastly, the authority to adopt all reasonable and necessary rules, regulations for implementation. And there is a penalty. The consultant does not comply or give false information, is a class B offense to the city. differences from the San Francisco legislation, the quarterly reporting of amounts of pay promised by clients, sliding scale registration fees for each consultant based on the yearly earnings. As consultants, the standard fee of $50 applied to a general fund and the rate optimization of the client. So that's pretty much the basis of the deal. Again, I would love your input. Any tweets, of course, I've been getting calls from consultants screaming and yelling at me about this. So obviously, it's a good deal. I know when you do stuff in the back game, you may miss something. So that's the reason why I'm here today, to flush it out with you all. I'm in no rush to get it on the next cycle. If you all need time to really delve into it or talk to people that's in the business. I know it's going to be a hot topic as things progress across the street. And we really see, the school to broaden the particular GEA. Part of what happened was done through political consultants in setting up what was touted as a veto-proof council, by certain political consultants and things like that. So again, that's the deal, and I would love to do that.
Thank you. Do any of the commission members have a question or a comment that they want to share with Council Member Dennis?
I do. Catherine, thank you for being here. Good evening. And thanks for your consistent support of ethics. You actually remember were the rules chair when I was first appointed to this commission several years ago now. I've got some real specific comments, and I actually could email them to you, maybe instead of using up everybody's time here, but I just want to tell you I appreciate the work you put into this. I think it's a worthwhile effort.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Again, I need your input. This was done in a bubble. And so I think it's going to be a better deal than what's here. I'm hoping to get some suggestions and definitely get those tweets.
If you can stop, Carla.
Yes, I just also wanted to thank Councilman Dennis for the work in this area, because this is cutting edge legislation, and it has been trying jurisdictions. I think this was modeled after San Francisco. And so any transparency is a good goal. And so, we can chew on a little bit, perhaps revert to legislative base so that they can think with it and maybe get Joe's input on it too. That would be helpful. I would say just one minor little thing. There's one part in the legislation where the council secretary gathers all the registrations, and then way at the end, it makes the ethics commission responsible for keeping them all as records. It should be probably the council secretary. They can't gather them all to plan, they should just be the repository of public records. It makes it easier. And then the duties for the ethics commission would just be to make sure that there's training on it. I don't think we have about 100 lobbyists in the city that are registered. And we want to start mandatory training for them. I don't think that there's 100 political consultants. There might be a handful, less than 10.
I agree.
Yeah, so this is a huge thing, but it's more transparency in an area that is extremely powerful in the city. So I think it's interesting, and we should definitely support the council member with his ideas.
Thank you, Carla. Any other council member, you want to?
Yes, ma'am. Very good. I basically was going to echo what I just heard.
I'm not sure if your microphone is. You have your green light?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm echoing what Carla Miller just said. It seems to me that legislative committee will look at it and give ourselves a fairly short time frame so that we can accommodate this excellent submission.
Any other commission members with a comment or a question? Let me look at my gallery. I'm looking at anybody with a hand up. I don't see anyone. So thank you again.
Thank you. And someone from the ethics office, whether let me know when the legislative committee is there to look at how we have to come back and look at it and make any tweaks. Again, I'm not in a rush. The mission is right. And I think with everything that's happening that I've seen, the momentum will be here to get this passed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hopping back to our agenda, we had just finished discussing old business and we're up to, I think I broke my shield. I'm sorry. Up to public comments. So I have a little summary to see someone's standing on it. So during ethics commission meetings, public comments are allowed prior to final votes on anything that's substantive, and we did not vote on anything today, so I didn't call on anyone. Except I sort of did without meaning to earlier for public comments. But at the end of the meeting, we're also offering public comments on any subject you'd like to bring to our attention. You can have 3 minutes to speak. And I'd ask if you want to speak, but we'll call on you, and then we will have you say your name for the record and go ahead and take your time. And am I the timer, or will someone else time for me and just give me a heads up?
Sandy,
you're going to time? Okay. Sir, nice to see you. Did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you very well. Let me look around and make sure
okay. That
you don't have an issue in charge of that.
All right. Well, my name is John Newman, and address is on file. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. And, with ethics, what I just really want to touch on, it has to do, with, the community process. And, right now, they think of me as restoring the public trust for what it is. And,
So, are you able to use the microphone so everyone can hear you? Would you mind sitting? Well, I'm not sure everyone can.
All right. Well,
that's much better.
That's fine.
Thank you.
All right. Well, real quick, I'm sorry, Matt and Councilman Dennis both left, but, and is Barbara still here? No, she's not too. All right, the legislation 2021-0075, that was our fine projects. There was a public hearing February 23rd at the City Council. Then I attempted to participate in the committee process. March 1st was the neighborhoods committee meeting, while I was the chair. I tried to participate, public participation 2017-16. That is the legislation that hopefully that any citizen can participate before a vote is taken by a board or commission. I was shattered. Next day, finance, same thing. Waterways, it was through waterways, never even had a bill money. So, this is ethics. The public trust right now, and I hope you're able to hear me, but, to me, it's just being crushed. And here, Dennis, right now, there's a piece of legislation, 2020-0559, doubling our vessel registration fees at 50% tax increase. And there was a vote in waterways, and that was back in September. So here it is, it's just sitting there in these different committees. So where I'm going with it, when we are looking at the gas tax, will the public be allowed to speak through the legislative process, regardless now of the public hearing, but through the committee process? And right now I say it's not happening. So that's no transparency. And I'll tell you what, it scared the heck out of me. And I hope that the ethics commission will address it. And and here's my public comment part.
Thank you. Is that time? Thank you.
It is.
I see one more person on our virtual screen. It's Mr. Scott, who has his hand raised to make a
Ms. Scott, were you able to hear what I explained earlier, that you'll have 3 minutes to make public comments on whatever topic you'd like to bring to the attention of the Ethics Commission, and Sandy will find yours 3 minutes, and I'll let you know if you're not.
Yes, Stanley Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank. My address is on file. I concur with Mr. Noonan. His famous words, we are being crushed. We have lack of a civic engagement in this city. And I'm a subject matter expert. I'm not just a citizen. I run a national think tank. And no other city, I travel the whole country, operate like Jacksonville that I know of. And like I say, I've been from California to only place I haven't been is Hawaii and Alaska. It's appalled. I am appalled. And I'm a military vet. And my rights has been taken from me because certain people in this city, in the power structure, continue to fail me, not giving me the opportunity to be public participation, public hearing, and sometime on committees, not giving a lot for public comment. Why is that? When the law say, I have those opportunities not given to me, yes, not by city council or other. Well, right now, I'm just disappointed. Just the fact that I'm a veteran, and to all the other citizens around this country, are being shed out in this city here. And we have empirical evidence to prove what we are saying. We are not just giving opinion. We are dealing with facts. I deal with facts. And we will be addressing this on a higher level when it comes to ethics in this city, when it comes to rules. And you continue to violate our rights. And once again, been a subject matter expert on civil rights for 40 years, and my information is available to anybody. They can Google me. What you're doing to the citizens of Jacksonville is appalling. And Ms. Carla Miller, as a person, she's a great person, but as a leader, I have a hand down for her participation and what she had done to this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public who wants to make any comments? I don't see any other people here or hands right. So last couple of items on the agenda are announcements and scheduling of future meetings. Are there any announcements? Carla, or is anybody that you need to be aware of? Okay, no announcements. So scheduling future meetings, we determined that we wanted to have an ad hoc succession planning meeting early in April. Should we get out of our phones and try to find a time in the meeting? I mean, what are your thoughts? What's the best way to put it on that follow-up or stand your group? Yes,
can you
I asked of you, Darcy and Joe, to serve, but I really would like members of the commission who are available to attend and participate in the meeting. I'll be represented. Yes,
if I could just make one comment on meetings. That, as you see, the formal setup we have here to a hybrid meeting. People can zoom in and we can have video. We all bring our laptops. It's pretty intense. And I have to thank Cheryl Brown, the Council Secretary, and Steve Sabin-Levon for being here. We really appreciate your help with this because it's extremely difficult to do the kind of setup we need for this kind of meeting. we do not have to have this kind of meeting for everybody. We have a subcommittee of three people. If we wear masks and we're socially or distant, we can meet in a room here and notice the meeting. We don't have to have a big hybrid meeting like this behind little glass cubes. So that will make it easier for maybe some of the smaller meetings.
Perfect. Hold up my calendar to look at dates in April. Carla, I'm just not sure the best way to start thinking of what I'm not quite sure what to do about setting the meetings. I don't think I've quite heard what you said about it.
It's just that if the succession committee wants to get together, we don't have to have a good formal. We can just have three people meet with mass meeting and social system. So we can set that meeting up. Sandy is quite good at sending one 10 miles and going back and forth and getting a time for that meeting.
Okay.
And if any of the other, you all now know who's on committees and who's chairing them. If anybody wants to have a committee meeting, then just get with us so we can organize it.
There was a need to get legislative together.
Legislative, and I believe Monty is the chair of legislative this year. So we'll get with the Monty and the people on her committee and get a critical mass of people together for a meeting. So we have that meeting in succession. I do think we've got about another month or two before everyone has the opportunity to get vaccinated until we all feel a little bit more relaxed, if we ever feel relaxed again. Be calm. It's not like everybody has to meet in your subcommittees in the next month and be eager about this. Let's make sure that everyone is safe, everyone gets their vaccine on the next month. Maybe have those two committees, the succession committee and legislative committee, and we'll do that and then set another whole information meeting. And they write that up the KMA. We'll all be vaccinated by them, maybe.
Hopefully. Thank you. Sorry, I lost the thread there for a second. So Sandy, you got that job. Thank you very much for your support. Is there any other business that needs to be brought to our attention today? Okay, then let's adjourn our meeting. It's 5:32.
And we're going to take a photo with Jenny's
outdoor.
Can't see all of them.
It's nice to see you.
I have it.